WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News special report. The Vatican says Pope Francis has developed pneumonia in both his lungs on top of asthmatic bronchitis. CBS's Anna Matranga is in Rome.
The 88-year-old Pope has been hospitalized for 5 days in what the Vatican has described as a complex clinical picture. The Pope is receiving cortisone and antibiotic treatment.
The Vatican says the Pope is in good spirits and is grateful for the prayers for his recovery. He ate breakfast this morning and read some newspapers. CBS's Elaine Cobb has more.
The Vatican has canceled papal audiences through the weekend. Visitors to Rome say Pope Francis is in their thoughts.
I wish for him for a speedy recovery and that he will have many strong years left in him.
I feel very sorry for him. It's really, we hope he will get better soon.
The Vatican is not saying how long the Pope may have to stay in the hospital. It will only say the treatment of his complex condition will require an adequate stay. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The lawsuit regarding the Racine mobile voting RV has been thrown out by the state Supreme Court. That's according to the Associated Press. The suit was over Racine's 2022 use of a mobile voting van and where it parked. In the court's 4-3 ruling, it said that a Republican Party official that filed the lawsuit lacks standing to challenge the Election Commission's decision. The ruling didn't decide whether the voting site on wheels was legal. The lawsuit filed by Racine County Republican Party Chairman Ken Brown sought to prevent mobile voting vans from being used in any future election. Soon the wind chills won't be so dangerous. Bitterly cold temperatures continue in the area, but a warm-up is on the way. A cold weather advisory remains in effect through tomorrow morning. Highs tomorrow near 14, with temperatures expected to rise into the 40s by Sunday. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will give his budget address to the legislature. Lisa Hale has a preview.
This is where he'll reveal his whole proposal, kicking off a negotiation process between him and Republicans. You can expect his priorities to align with what he discussed in his State of the State address a couple of weeks ago. He's revealed some parts of it already, including increasing funding for schools, reforms to Wisconsin's correctional system, and funding the new Office of Violence Prevention. His budget proposal also includes measures to lower the cost of child care and prescription medications. After the State of the State, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called Evers' priorities, quote, a whole lot of things that are not going to happen in Wisconsin.
We'll have special coverage tonight on 540 WAUK. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
A rematch against Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Fighting Illini. The last time these two teams met, Illinois won by 6. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard.
You know, I know we've gotten a lot better, but obviously here's the, you know, somebody that got us the first round, and what can we do better to take away the things that they did really well the first time? And offensive rebounding for them was something they emphasized, and they were really good at it that night.
NFL, the Packers need to make decisions on free agents like center Josh Myers, kicker Brandon McManus. Today is the first day teams can use the franchise tag. Baseball spring training, Brewers new lefty Nestor Cortez talked about his elbow injury.
So I started throwing in like mid-December. Those first 2-3 weeks are like growing pains and know that you're a little sore, but I feel like I have a good sense of what's sore and what's pain. You know, turn some heads and keep going forward.
That's the Brewers new left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures climbing to the single digits and winds knocking us back to feeling sub-zero all day. Then again tonight, another cold weather advisory goes into effect where wind chills will make us feel as cold as 15 below. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're staying warm out there. It is chilly, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you may know that I have a tiny little dog. I'm a great big tall person, so I figured I'll get a dog that's ironic. So I have she's now 13 pounds. I just took her to the vet. I have a miniature dachshund who is 13 pounds. And I will tell you what, everybody, this dog hates it outside right now. It is just brutal. And because she's so little, I can't quite get her in the booties. It doesn't work. So I hope you, your pets, your loved ones, be they four-legged or two-legged, are all staying warm out there. We're going to try to keep you warm with some great conversation this afternoon. So much to talk about. I'm glad I've got each and every one of you to help me out this afternoon, as well as Cal on the board today. Thank you so much for being here, Cal. I appreciate it. Getting back into the swing of things, everybody, after a bit of a long weekend for me. And, you know, it's really good to come back to work as a political talk radio host when just nothing has happened, absolutely nothing in the news. No, quite a bit. The main focuses today, everyone, are going to be what I'm going to call like the Thursday night massacre and New Friday massacre. These resignations coming out of the Southern District of New York. Again, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I was first an elbow clerk to the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court judge who just passed away a couple years ago. His name was Michael Caney. He was a two-time Republican appointee. I worked for this judge for a year coming right out of law school. It was federal appeals court clerk. And then spent many years, most recently, as a government lawyer in local government. So I'm going to share with you some of my perspectives. I'm going to read some of their resignation letters, and we'll get into that discussion. That's going to be an hour or two today. We're going to start off today, as I have been wont to do recently, with a few quick things about what's going on in the news. And then after that, I'm going to turn to J.D. Vance's speech last week in Munich. Shocking would be a word to use to describe the message that J.D. Vance had for America's staunchest allies in Western Europe. We're going to go into that at some length because, I'm not sure exactly what the long game is here. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to be curious to hear what your thoughts are on what exactly are they getting at beyond, oh, they want to burn it all down. To what purpose? These are the questions I'm left after this incredible few days of news. Like, where are they going with all of this? We know that there's horse trading. We know that they're, you know, again, handing out dismissals of cases to politicians who pledge fidelity to Donald Trump. We know that there is this far right tilt of our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk. We know that they're embracing not just Nazi messaging in speeches, but Nazi symbols, Nazi imagery, and of course, neo-Nazi parties throughout the world. But to what end? Right? Like, to what end? And so I want to get into that with all of you. But first, I think we've got to do a little bit of business because, of course, it is primary election day. Everyone, please, please, please go out there and vote. Most importantly, on your primary ballot today are three candidates for a state superintendent of public instruction. You're not going to want to miss the opportunity to cast that vote. These are not traditional candidates. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's very own political editor, has broken down that race. You can check out Dan's thoughts on the three candidates in detail if you go to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us. So do not, please, everyone, go get your primary voting done. I know it's cold outside, but you don't vote outside. You vote inside. So you can get it done in the state of Wisconsin. You got until 8 p.m. As long as you are in line by 8 p.m. to vote, you will have an opportunity to vote today. If you don't remember what your polling place is, you're not sure if you're registered, just go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. And everyone, please make sure that your calendars are marked for our general election coming up so quickly. That's going to be April 1st, a big showdown in the Supreme Court. And tomorrow, it's going to be basically an all Wisconsin Wednesday. Wisconsin Wednesday is what it's going to be on the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to be talking about budgets, ballots, the Birkebeiner, and billionaires. I cannot wait to share all of that with you. But let's get to a few quick things this afternoon, because there are a few quick things, including a very strange one that caught my attention. Not sure if it caught yours. A conservative influencer, she's big all over X, has claimed, she was all over the X for the last few days, claiming that she just gave birth to Elon Musk's love child. I know this is quite salacious, but I'm always curious as to conservatives, especially those who espouse sort of this very devout Christian take on things. Tell me, what do you think about Elon Musk's 13 kids with multiple women? How does that work? Elon Musk then retweeting basically a slam of her that someone else put out there that apparently included a photo of her in underwear when she was 15. So is Elon Musk now retweeting what some might argue is child porn? It's just so freaking bizarre. It could only be happening in this moment in our country. This woman's name, her name is Ashley St. Clair. Just a very weird circumstance going on here. So that was my quick thing, number one. Very, very bizarre. We now have news that Elon Musk is coming for your Social Security check. That also breaking over the weekend, a top Social Security official resigning. A little bit of an echo of the Thursday night massacre in the Southern District of New York. That's happening. Do you rely on your Social Security check? Does your grandparent, your parent, is that essential for them to get through the day, the week, the month? Is it necessary for them to pay their heating bill when they have to have their heat cranked? Yeah, if so, Musk is coming for their check. What are you going to do about it? We're going to go deep on Social Security in one of our upcoming episodes here, because I think it really deserves some attention about what are, if you're concerned that Social Security, oh, it's going bankrupt, which in my opinion is a slightly exaggerated problem. There are lots of ways to fix that problem. There are lots of ways to address any sorts of claims of fraud or any improprieties there. It's not gutting Social Security. It's not taking away the benefits that people have earned. We'll go deep on that very soon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Announcements today that there are ongoing negotiations between the United States and Russia, ostensibly to work on a peace agreement for Ukraine and to explore, quote, incredible opportunities to partner economically and geopolitically. Ukraine and Europe not invited to the peace talk party. Is this not a little weird? Like, if you're trying to broker peace between two warring governments, wouldn't you think that, like, both warring governments need to be there? Or is it just now, like, the United States, Trump and Putin just to get to divide up the globe? Well, you take this, we'll take Greenland, Canada, the pan. Like, is that what's going on? This is so utterly bizarre and wretched. And by the way, of course, everyone, when we get into what J.D. Vance was saying in Munich, Germany, which is supposed to be a talk about basically the security of the what was the Western alliance that stood up to Nazi Germany. All of this has a through line that deals with far right extremists and is an overarching capitulation to Vladimir Putin. This is all of one thing. We'll get into it, not to worry. In other quick news here, a quick few things. Judge Anna C. Reyes hearing a case in federal district court in Washington opposing President Trump's order against, quote, racial gender ideology in the military, informed the government's attorney today that not all people have XX and XY chromosomes. She cited about 30 examples of intersexed people. She said that biology, actual facts, do not support the president's executive order that there are just two sexes, male and female, and indicated that this was indeed a fundamental issue underlying the case before her. There's a refreshing breath from a judge. Oh, yes, looking at science and telling Donald Trump, you know, we might need to look at science when you start making these sorts of declarations. This also I found incredibly interesting. Steve Bannon, President Trump's former White House chief strategist in Trump 1.0, has renewed his feud with Elon Musk. Remember, there was a little bit of a standoff over the holiday seasons or the HB1 visa question. He called Elon Musk a, quote, parasitic illegal immigrant. So for those of you who supported Donald Trump, are you with the billionaire overlord or are you more in Steve Bannon's camp? But inquiring minds, including mine, would like to know. This was in an interview published online today with a British news site called Unheard. Huh. Fascinating. We've got another plane crash. Unbelievably, I was in Toronto last year. This crash happening in Toronto in a very windy and snowy Toronto airport. Apparently, a Delta flight flipped over and lit on fire. Everyone survived. Thank goodness. We also have some really big announcements coming from Tony Evers saying his budget is reflective of his declaration of 2025 as Year of the Kid. Big investment in our incarceration system here, given all the deaths that have occurred. And he wants to give us $2 billion in tax relief. I wonder if under Governor Evers' plan, most of that's going to go to the middle class. When we come back, I'm going to dig into, I don't even know what you call what J.D. Vance did last week in Munich. Oy. We'll discuss next. You're not going to want to miss that because it matters. It matters very much. Do you and me care about the shared values of democracies worldwide? Because I'm not sure J.D. Vance does. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Offering small ship experiences with a shore excursion included in every port. And programs designed for cultural enrichment. Learn more at Viking.com.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly. parts.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? Created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join this conversation. We're going to get into some difficult, complicated stuff because J.D. Vance showed up at the 61st Annual Munich Security Conference, which is an annual conference that really focuses on international security policy. And of course, there is an ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. We have uncertainty in Gaza as to what comes next. And largely, everybody expected J.D. Vance to address what is going on in Ukraine. But that really wasn't the focus of his speech at all. No. J.D. Vance took the opportunity addressing most of the members of what I'm just going to refer to as the Western Alliance that stood up to Nazi Germany back in the 40s and basically took them to task about their failings as democratic countries, small d, about their failure to protect free speech. All of this was about as capitulating and obsequious as you could imagine. And capitulating to whom? Obsequious to what set of interests? That's really the question. The nominal answer, the first blush answer, right, is that it is obsequiousness. It is agreement. It is knee bending to Vladimir Putin and the neo-Nazi far right movements that are basically seen in every Western European country and elsewhere. Former Soviet bloc countries that had established a fledgling democracy after the fall of the Soviet Union. They all have far-right movements. So he was explicitly, basically drawing a new alliance, a new alignment between the Trump administration and, by extension, the United States and Vladimir Putin and far-right neo-Nazi movements the world over. That is what he did. And he did this, I draw this conclusion, I'm not burying the punchline here at all, because the examples that he used to effectively scold and criticize this nation's most stalwart allies in Western Europe, his examples were all examples coming from the far right. And the manner in which he presented these issues was so selective, it requires a little Maggie Dawn fact-checking. So I figured, you know, we'll do that here together. We'll get into a discussion about what this means for us. Foreign policy often seems so far, so distant, both geographically and literally, but distant from our day-to-day lives. And yet there is a very clear through line between the actions of the Trump administration and an embrace of far-right ideology, as well as what we are seeing happening in real time in the U.S. Department of Justice and now in many other executive branch administrative agencies. We are now hearing that around 9 a.m. this morning, more resignations are coming out of the Department of Justice. Denise Chung, a respected head of the criminal division in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., abruptly resigned after refusing to carry out an unspecified directive from Trump appointees. Just minutes ago, a letter from 900-plus former federal prosecutors warns us Wisconsinites, us citizens of this country, of alarming decisions inside the Justice Department. There is a through line here. These are not disparate, separate events. So I'm going to get to the DOJ resignations. I'll share with you a bit of my experience as a government lawyer, as a clerk to a federal judge. But let's take a listen. This was one of J.D. Vance's like first hits in his little speech. He talked about this election in Romania and made it seem like those that let's just listen to it because I'm not sure. I don't want to like give him more credit where it's not due. Let's take a listen.
Now we're at the point, of course, that the situation has gotten so bad that this December, Romania straight up canceled the results of a presidential election based on the flimsy suspicions of an intelligence agency and enormous pressure from its continental neighbors. Now, as I understand it, the argument was that Russian disinformation had infected the Romanian elections. But I'd ask my European friends to have some perspective. You can believe it's wrong for Russia to buy social media advertisements to influence your elections. We certainly do. You can condemn it on the world stage even. But if your democracy can be destroyed with a few hundred thousand dollars of digital advertising from a foreign country, then it wasn't very strong to begin with.
I think that's two people clapping. By the way, did you catch this little part? You can believe it's wrong for Russia to buy social media advertisements to influence your elections. We certainly do. Well, then why don't you do something about it, JD? The meta point here that he's trying to make is that there were like evil forces conspiring to squelch a legitimate democratic election in Romania. All garbage. Its first round vote was annulled by Romania's highest constitutional court because there was caboodles of evidence that there weren't just, you know, a couple of ads bought by, you know, some Russian disinformation bots. That there was severe Russian meddling on behalf of the, far right, pro-Putin, anti-European candidate, Kalin Georgescu, who had gone from like a nobody, you know, like J.D. Vance, a nobody that nobody knew about. I've digressed. Gone from a nobody to the front runner in a matter of months. And there were five previously classified, now available reports detailing this aggressive Russian influence campaign to interfere in the election, to impact the outcome, not just through advertising, but through cyber attacks. I'm going to pick up debunking J.D. Vance's baloney. We come back after these brief messages. We're going to dig into the rest of his speech. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What does all this mean for you and your family? We discuss next here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
7 o'clock tonight, the governor will be presenting his 2025 through 2027 executive budget, and there's plenty for Wisconsin farmers and agribusinesses to note. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. The governor earmarking somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million investments for Wisconsin farmers as well as food processors, and also the environment. The governor says that he's proud of some of the conservation efforts that farmers have spearheaded, and he wants to make sure that that continues.
This plan also holds harmless, innocent landowners like farmers who unknowingly spread biosolids that contain PFAS on their land and invest $7 million to help clean up biosolids contamination. I'm also excited to be announcing another $1 million through our producer-led watershed protection grant program to 49 farmer-led groups and three new groups receiving awards in this round of funding. I've had the opportunity to visit many of them over the last 5 years, and I'm just amazed at the work that they're doing.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, among some of the other programs the governor intends to continue, includes more money for farmer mental health programs, as well as additional funding for the Something Special from Wisconsin program.
When I started farming, I never imagined I'd be leading policy discussions or representing farmers in my community. But Wisconsin Farm Bureau has helped make that possible. Their leadership programs gave me the skills and the confidence to step up and make a difference for my farm and for Wisconsin. If you're ready to lead, Farm Bureau is ready to help.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing: to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And today, Wisconsinites will vote on a state superintendent of public instruction. Three names are on the ballot. Yesterday, despite the cold weather, more than 200 Wisconsin FFA members made the trek to the state capitol with the task of advocating for agriculture education, specifically $60 million in the state budget that helps to support career and technical education, or CTEs. Some of the agriculture educators that were at the state capitol said by receiving that funding, it would allow chapters to remove barriers to paying dues or attending class trips. Again, that state primary today. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures climbing to the single digits and winds knocking us back to feeling sub-zero all day. Then again tonight, another cold weather advisory goes into effect where wind chills will make us feel as cold as 15 below. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
We are going to fight them off. The fascists, the authoritarians, the dictators, and those that collude with them, you know, to divide up the spoils of our labor and, you know, tell us how we're going to live our lives. Wait a minute. Who are we talking about again? I'll get back to that in a second. More breaking news. Incredibly, Secretary of State Marco Rubio advocating for a new U.S.-Russia partnership, saying America needs to, quote, take advantage of the incredible opportunity to work with Putin geopolitically, economically, and on issues of common interest. Issues of common interest with a dictator? Do you think this might be to the economic advantage of billionaire overlords, potentially? I mean, might that be what's going on? We'll get back to that. Okay, we've been talking about J.D. Vance's speech last week in Munich, ostensibly at a conference amongst Western allies about how to secure Western Europe and democracies. Instead of talking about that and the threat Russia poses, well, to the entirety of Western Europe, including all former Soviet bloc countries, J.D. Vance decided to scold all of Western Europe, and of course the Biden administration, there were a few hits in there for that too, for failing to live up to their democratic values and to protect free speech. Let's take a listen to a bit more from J.D. Vance last week. Cut to Cal, if you don't mind.
Now again, we don't have to agree with everything or anything that people say. But when people represent, when political leaders represent an important constituency, it is incumbent upon us to at least participate in dialogue with them. Now, to many of us on the other side of the Atlantic, it looks more and more like old entrenched interests hiding behind ugly Soviet-era words like misinformation and disinformation, who simply don't like the idea that somebody with an alternative viewpoint might express a different opinion or, God forbid, vote a different way or, even worse, win an election.
Let's pause here. In general, and please don't all scream at once into your radio, I agree with what J.D. Vance is saying, but the question isn't, do we agree in baseline principle? The question is, where do you draw the line, right? The Nazi Party became the dominant political party in Germany. Does that mean you're, yep, mm-hmm, sign up. Sometimes the majority gets things really, really wrong. And in a democracy, there are supposed to be checks, you know, checks and balances, these co-equal branches of government that provide the protections of those groups, of those individuals, sometimes on an individual basis, sometimes on a group basis, whose rights may be infringed when the majority has power and control, like through a democratic system. Laws can be unconstitutional, though duly passed. Laws and presidential decision-making can go against our most fundamental values as Americans, even though a president was duly elected. So the platitudes, JD, don't speak to the problem, which is when the speech is saying women no longer get the right to vote and there's only two genders, even though a judge just said that that's not true because science says that's not true, right? Do we just legislate transgender or intersex people out of existence? If you think there's only two genders, do we get to lock those people up? And the examples that J.D. Vance used in his speech in Munich were all examples of speech suppression of only those on the far right. The question has always been, where do you draw the line? It's in fact elementary, pedantic, totally off the freaking point for him to selectively call out the suppression of speech. And by using these selective examples, align himself, the Trump administration, and by extension, this country, with those on the far extremist neo-Nazi, resurgent Nazi right. And this, coming from an administration that has currently barred the AP from Air Force One. This is the Associated Press Wire Service. They've also banned the AP from other media events. Because the wire service won't call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. This, from an administration in which it is led by a man who has gone on a personal litigation crusade to shut down media outlets, who is extracting settlement after settlement for media, from media outlets for telling the truth, and because they're so worried about retribution from the Federal Communications Commission. This from the guy that attacks the media as the enemy of the people. Whatever you think about the media, it's an essential part of democracy. Let's criticize the media, but to call the media the enemy of the people while at the same time lecturing Western Europe about whether or not they pay sufficient fidelity to the free speech rights of the far right is disingenuous at best, and at worst, the work of a wannabe dictator. Elon Musk just called for the reporters on CBS's 60 Minutes program the biggest liars in the world, and they should all receive a long prison sentence. But J.D. Vance, Musk, and Trump are the pro-free speech people? Weird. Oh, yeah. Trump's border czar is calling for police at the Department of Justice to investigate AOC for telling immigrants about their actual rights. Not lying about their rights, providing them accurate information, but she should be jailed for that. That sounds like a group of people that really stand behind the First Amendment. And by the way, just today in reporting, the Washington Post cancels an ad from groups calling for Musk or for Trump to fire Musk. Sounds like free speech to me, doesn't it? So J.D. Vance lecturing Western Europe about free speech is insane. And lest I remind you, the folks who have been the most zealous advocates for free speech in this country starting in the 1960s were those, quote, liberal activists that conservatives hated so much. The United States, our view on the First Amendment has only become as strong as it is today, tolerant of very few restrictions on speech, because of, quote, those liberal progressive activists back in the 60s. In fact, one such lawyer, a guy by the name of Brady Williamson, just died. He was a giant amongst lawyers in Wisconsin and was most well known for his zealous lifelong advocacy of free speech. In fact, he was the lawyer in Wisconsin that sued the University of Wisconsin system when it enacted effectively a speech code for its students and won. It's interesting that J.D. Vance didn't mention Vladimir Putin's execution of journalists, of his silencing of anyone who politically disagrees with him. He didn't talk about any of that, did he? Because that is a long list. He didn't talk about Viktor Orban targeting abortion rights protesters. He didn't talk about any of those things. He didn't talk about the fact that Viktor Orban is jailing political cartoonists. He didn't talk about the fact that Germany, over the past year, has shut down nonviolent pro-Palestinian protesters. He didn't talk about the fact that in Germany, activists calling for a boycott of Israeli products were prosecuted under anti-discrimination laws in Germany and in France. He didn't talk about those in the United States that used their platform to attack not just judges doing their jobs, but frontline court staff doing their jobs. And he certainly didn't criticize himself for saying on the record that Vice President Pence should have simply refused to follow the Constitution and that he should have refused to certify the election. Didn't mention any of that. And we have to recall that the day after J.D. Vance said these things, lecturing Western Europe about their fidelity to free speech and basic democratic small d values, Donald Trump tweeted this: "He who saves his country does not violate any law." That is not democracy. And just to be sure that we all got the point, excuse me, the White House Twitter account then reposted that. That statement, which is often attributed to Napoleon, didn't go so well for him, did it, by the way? Often attributed to Napoleon, is about the most un-American, anti-democratic thing someone, least of which a president, could say. It's bat guano nonsense. And if you don't believe me, if you're a conservative, you like Donald Trump, go read the National Review, its response to Trump tweeting that. Oh, and if you missed one of the links to Nazism here in this country, Elon Musk, of course, retweeted Donald Trump's statement that he who saves his country does not violate any law. Retweeted it with 14 American flags. Why 14? Well, we could assume that it was just a random number. But if you know anything about modern day Nazism, the number 14 has a very, very special meaning. And I'm not going to go into it in great detail because it would take a whole nother show to do that. But 14 shows up all the time. It's a reference to the 14 words. Oh, do you remember the fact that America First, that little slogan, was the name of an openly pro-Nazi movement in the 1930s? I don't seem to forget that down the memory hole. Do we remember that Donald Trump said that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country? Do we recall that Hitler said the very same thing about Jews? Do we forget that the 2021 CPAC conference featured a stage that resembled the Odal Ruin, which is a Nazi symbol? Do we forget his dinner with Nick Fuentes? Or even Elon Musk's recent Nazi salutes? We're going to pick it up right here. We're going to take your calls and texts next. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Join this great discussion about some very, very real news right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Governor Tony Evers is set to share his budget address to the state on Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. You can count on the Civic Media team to have it covered for you here, live.
And when the polls close, you'll also hear your primary election results from the races important to you and your family.
Live coverage of the elections in your area and the budget address Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the drift towards authoritarianism that is part and parcel of the Trump, Musk, Vance machine, I guess you could call it. Most recently, of course, Musk calling for journalists to be imprisoned. J.D. Vance meeting before his comments at the Munich conference with a leader of the Nazi-adjacent far-right AfD party in Germany. And of course, let us not forget the fact that like three weeks ago, Elon Musk zoomed in to the AfD rally and made a few comments. Cal, can we take a listen to Elon talking to the AfD rally?
I think there's, like, frankly, too much of a focus on past guilt, and we need to move beyond that. Children should not be guilty of the sins of their parents.
Children should not be guilty of the sins of their parents, but they damn well should know about them, wouldn't you say? Unless you want to, you know, deny the Holocaust, which he comes, you know, like, millimeters away from doing. This from Musk coming on the heels of not just his two-time Nazi salute, but tweeting out this. Don't say Hess to not Nazi accusations. Some people will Goebbels anything down or Goebbels anything down. Stop goring your enemies. His pronouns would have been he and Himmler. But you did not see that coming because it's funny to joke about Nazis, Elon. I have no patience for any of this. None at all. CJ, do we agree we can at least start with the baseline values here, right? Nazis are bad.
And then we'll see how much we got there. Yes.
You there, CJ?
All right.
Oh. He hung up. Apparently, we can't even get Nazis are bad. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up next on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Yeah, well, but women are supposed to feel guilty about Eve tempting Adam with the forbidden fruit. You know, according to the biblical mythology. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, that for Donald Trump, he was calling the press the enemy of the people. That, and you know, for freedom of speech, I mean, there's words I can't say right now to say how I feel about this, including words that, you know, were perfectly acceptable to the Anglo-Saxons, but the Norman decided those weren't polite, so you can't use those words. That it is just beyond belief that these guys the former Russian hawks now have embraced Vladimir Putin, former KGB officer, have embraced Nazism, you know, and how the Jewish people must feel about some of this stuff, because that's...
It's disgusting.
It should be so fresh in all our memories. I mean,
it should. Sadly, it is not. Cam from Appleton, you're up next, sir.
Hey, Maggie. I am going to word this carefully, but I'm not confident, and I'm not sure if you are confident, that we can beat them legally. Like, the legal system just genuinely feels like it's failing us, and people are getting censored left and right. I see TikTok, YouTube, Nextdoor, Facebook, they're all censoring people trying to cry out about this. Reddit is even doing it now. I don't, what do we do next?
I just want to jump in there, Cam. A couple things. One, I don't yet see indications that the justice system, or at least the courts, are collapsing. I see judges, Republican-appointed judges, Democrat-appointed judges, standing up to the Trump administration. That's thing one. Thing two, what we know is that we have entered information sewer land, okay? Legacy media challenged to do the right thing. We see the online platforms challenged to do the right thing. And yet, we do know that people of goodwill and good faith can get up and speak. We can speak to one another. We can speak on radio shows. We can patronize really good, well-meaning media outlets. By the way, I'm going to just put this marker down. Cal, I'm going to ask you to make a note. Help me remember this. I think we should do a show and share with one another some of the good media outlets. And by good, I don't mean liberal. What I mean are media outlets that are trying to get it right. And that have some fidelity to the truth, are willing in their opinion pages or in their opinion shows to call things as they see them and share that information with one another. Because social media sites like Reddit, TikTok, X, Insta, like all of these things are controlled by a very, very small group of people. There is a democratizing nature to the internet. We need to lean back into those origins and share that information with other people of good faith and goodwill. Because I don't think if you are a person of good faith, if you believe that your eyes behold things accurately, can look at what's happening and say, this is just fine. It's not by any stretch. Let's not forget this. On Wednesday last week, Hegseth said that Ukraine should give up any claim to its territory. They're just going to force a peace. Then Trump calls Putin. They talk for an hour and a half. They talk about the peace. Now it's, we're going to have an alliance with Russia. To what end? Enriching the billionaire class? Probably. That's what I'm going to assume. Are we just telling all of NATO to go kick rocks now? Well, I'm sure that'll work out well for our national security. And then, of course, these little tidbits. Let's not forget this. Late on Thursday last week, Trump and Elon fired all those people at NNSA. That's the folks that keep an eye on our nuclear arsenal. Oops. And then they tried to claw it back. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, Russia fires a drone at Chernobyl in Ukraine. Come on. This is not the way it was supposed to be or go. And you and I all deserve better than this. The question remains, and we're going to get into this in the second hour, to what end? What is the end game? That discussion coming up next after top of the hour news, weather, and sports right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'll be back with more after top of the hour.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Vatican says Pope Francis has pneumonia on top of asthmatic bronchitis. CBS's Anna Matranga is in Rome, where the Pope has been hospitalized since Friday.
The Vatican says the Pope remains in good spirits and is grateful for the prayers offered for his recovery.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio has briefed European ministers on his talks today with Russian officials about ending the war in Ukraine. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was part of the U.S. delegation.
This needs to be a permanent end to the war and not a temporary end as we've seen in the past.
European and Ukrainian officials are outraged they were left out of the talks. Much of the country is in a deep freeze. Parts of the upper Midwest never climbed above zero today. Eric is in Bowman, North Dakota.
I'm kind of used to it for the most part. So I usually just can get away with just wearing two coats and walking out there, wear a jacket, then a coat over.
Snow will fall in the Mid-Atlantic region tomorrow. Some areas could get several inches. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.